Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again the same time each week. And we do count it our privilege to be able to come into your home, spend this time with you. And we hope that you have your Bibles out as you're following along. We're in an exciting time now. We're studying the book of Revelation. We're in the last days. And we're continuing now in our Bible study in Revelation chapter 6. Right before we begin, and we hope that you're turning over to Revelation chapter 6 and following along with us, we would like to thank those again that have taken time to write and express their appreciation of the broadcast. We appreciate that much. Maybe you're one who has never written us, and maybe you listen all the time. We'd be thrilled to hear from you and to know that you tune in the broadcast each Sunday morning, and we appreciate that very much. And we've had some ask said, well, what if we want to send an offering to help keep the radio broadcast on the air? Well, anything that is sent to the Heritage Radio Bible Class is used exclusively for radio time. That's all it's used for. And we appreciate those that consider that, and we thank those who have sent offerings to contribute toward the airtime that we have on same time each week. We appreciate that very much. Maybe you would like to do that. At the end of the broadcast, we give our mailing address, and you have a part of that ministry and a part of those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior by listening to the broadcast. And we appreciate that very much. And we just never want to let that go without coming back periodically and saying thank you. Thank you very much for your letters. Thank you for your financial support. And it is a great help. Sometimes someone will send just $5 or something and say, you know, I just want to have a part of that radio ministry. I enjoy it so much. And I want to make sure that it stays on the air. And I want other people, they tell that they invite their friends to listen. And we appreciate that very much. Great encouragement. If you've never written us there, we'd like for you to do that and let us know that you're listening. We appreciate it. Okay, in your Bibles now, we're over here in Revelation chapter 6, and we're continuing on now in our Bible study here. We have the opening here of the red seal in verse 4. We have the opening now, and we're continuing where we left off last week here with the next seal here in verse 5. Now follow with me. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. And in verse 6, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This is probably a week's wages for a loaf of bread. And we're in a great famine now, and this is what it shows here. And also when it says, hurt not the oil and the wine, which is representative here of the rich. In other words, don't touch the account of the rich. They're all right. Don't hurt that. They're the ones that we're going to protect. And whatever we pass, whatever we do, and I have no idea what the Antichrist is going to do, but he's a military genius, he's a financial genius, he's a genius in world rulership, he is nobody but Satan himself in a human body. And remember this, we're only given two people that Satan has ever personally indwelt. It's the Antichrist here, and Judas Iscariot, the only two that we have a record that I know of that he personally indwelt himself. So this is going to be Satan personified to bring this about. But as we're going to see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he wants to be ruled, or not ruled, but he wants to rule as God, an imitator of the God of creation. And it tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 2 to 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so that he goes into the temple and declares himself to be God. And as we're going to see, this is the beginning of his climb to power. And he will do that in the middle of the tribulation, after 3.5 years after the rapture. He is then, going to sit in the temple, declare himself to be God, and everyone will have to worship him, or as the last two verses of the book of Revelation chapter 13 say, no man will be able to buy or sell save he have the mark of the beast, and that number is 666. Right now, in Revelation chapter 6, this is the beginning of his climb to power. This is the beginning. So we find out here, there is going to be a famine. Keep that in mind. And as we've said in verse 4, they should kill one another. The famine is the reason, because when nobody has anything to eat, and die, instead of dying themselves, they'll kill another person and eat that person. That has been done in the past. We're going to see that in just a few minutes here. Let's come on down here now, if you will. In verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth beast saying, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death and Hell. Death claims the body, hell claims the soul. And death and hell, isn't that what Satan is? If he can deceive you and become a son of Satan, and he can deceive you all of your life, whether it be by church membership, water baptism, whatever good deed you can do, any way he can deceive you to keep you away from trusting only Jesus Christ to go to heaven, then he's claimed your soul to hell, and you'll be there with him for all time and eternity, separated from God in the dungeon and the hell in torment, as Luke 16 says of the rich man who died and went to hell. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. That's exactly what Satan wants to deceive you in, so that you'll die without Christ and spend eternity with him. Jesus Christ said, I'm not willing that you should perish, in 2 Peter. But that all should come to repentance, and that's metanoia in the Greek. Repentance is metanoia, and it means all should come to a change of mind. Please change your mind, you see. So you have two people after you. You have old Satan, who's going to try to deceive you to be religious and go to hell, or accept Jesus Christ and have Christianity named after Christ, Christ-anity, Christianity, and be a son of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 tells us, as many as received him, not Satan, but Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's it. I don't care how you slice it or cut it. Believing is it. Then he comes on down. He says to take a fourth part of the earth. So at the beginning of this tribulation period, in a very short time, one-fourth of the earth is going to be destroyed. Satan's going to be behind it. And it says to kill with the sword. They're going to be fighting one another. With hunger, there's your famine again, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now, it's very interesting here, because if you go up here to verse 6, there are two different Greek words for beast, and they mean two different things. Notice in verse 6, and I beheld a voice in the midst of the four beasts. These are living creatures, and the Greek word is zoon, Z-O-O-N. The first O is long, the second O is short. Zoon, and it means living creatures. And that's what John had seen in heaven. We come on down now here in verse 8, and we find out the last phrase here, and with beast, because of the famine and because of the shortage here of food, you're going to find out that wild beasts are going to attack men. And that's going to be part of this four plagues that are going to actually take a fourth of the part of the earth, of all of the earth, is going to be killed. Satan's going to be behind it, you see. Now, notice the word beast here is the Greek word therion, T-H-E-R-I-O-N, and it means in the Greek a dangerous animal. So we have two different Greek words, one zoon, for living creatures in heaven, and the other here for dangerous beast here upon the earth. That Greek word is therion, T-H-E-R-I-O-N. Now, before we go any further, we want to show you about the cannibalism here before we go on here and get the fifth seal here. So with that in mind, I would like for you to go with me in your Bibles here to 2 Kings, over here to 2 Kings in chapter 6. Okay, take your Bibles, go with me to 2 Kings here in chapter 6, and we're going to see here where we had a situation like that back here when the nation of Israel turned from the true and living God and went and served idols. 2 Kings in chapter 26, let's begin here in verse 24 to 26, all right? 2 Kings chapter 6 in verse 24 here to 26. Notice what it says. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all of the host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a certain famine. I'd underline that in my Bible. Here's what causes it. There was a famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. That's a score is 20, of course. That's 80 pieces of silver. And the fourth part of a cap of a dove's dung was sold for 5 pieces of silver. This was the worst of anything you could eat, and yet it was selling for an outrageous price. Now notice here in verse 26, and the king, that was Jehoram, and of Israel, was passing by upon the wall, and there cried a woman unto him, saying, a terrible famine at this time, help, my lord, O king, she said. Notice in verse 28, and the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman, another woman, had said unto her, it said, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. In other words, said, let's eat your son first and eat mine tomorrow. There was nothing to eat. It was a horrible famine. What happened was, so we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she went and hid her son. You see, did that happen? It absolutely did. When you're coming down to whether you eat somebody else or you die, we're going to find out. And they did this at Donner's Pass, did they not? They surely did. And you're going to find out in this tribulation period when there is such a famine as it was in the nation of Israel, that they actually ate their own children and they ate one another. Cannibalism. You'll do anything to live. A lot of people will. Now go in your Bibles with me. Let's go on over here to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 28. We have the same thing over here concerning the cannibalism here. Let's notice here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and let's go here to verses 49 to 51. Notice Deuteronomy 28 in verses 49 to 51. Here we go. It says here, and the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far. And talking about here, a nation, this here was the nation of Babylon here, against Israel because of their gross sins. Against thee from far and from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, and a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old or show favor to the young. In verse 51, it tells us this, and he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle. In other words, this nation coming in that's going to conquer them because of their sins. They shall take your cattle and the fruit of the land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kin or flocks or of thy sheep until he hath destroyed thee. Now notice down here in verse 53, because of this famine and because of them going into bondage and so forth, and not having anything to eat, thou shalt eat the fruit of thy own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters. We're going to have that in the tribulation period. It already happened to the nation of Israel. Let's go back here to Jeremiah now. We have the same thing. Jeremiah chapter 19 speaks of the same thing here. I'd like for you to notice that how it started out, though. This is very interesting. Every false religion is a killer. I might just say one. We have one false religion, or cult religion, I should say, that says you cannot give your son or your daughter a blood transfusion. You cannot do that. That's against God's laws. And there's been many lawsuits, and yet this religion here is a killer because it is a religion of Satanism. What are you saying? Every false religion is a killer. It'll kill you the first time. There are those over there in India because of their religion. They'll not eat a cow, so they starve to death. Satan loves for you to worship animals, does he not? You worship the sacred cow. You make that dumb thing sacred, and then you starve to death and die. I don't know how anybody can be that dumb myself. I'd unsacronize that thing if I was over there. He may be sacred until I got hungry, and when I got hungry, he's a long gone, he's history, because he's going to be eaten, you know. No religion is going to do that. But yet, Satan loves to fool people through a counterfeit religion. And yet, this religion we have in the United States and all over the world, they're worldwide, will say, do not give your daughter or son a blood transfusion. So, if they have an illness where they have to have that, and there's been many die up on the operating table, been many lawsuits over that, you see. But every false religion will kill. I'd like for you to notice now, in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 19, verse 4, because they have forsaken me, speaking of the nation of Israel, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it, into or unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Here's what they do. They sacrifice their own sons, and then we're going to find out, when a famine comes, they'll eat their own people. That's unbelievable. Now notice here in verse 5, they have built also the high places to Baal. That's a false god. To burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I have commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. This is how far people can go. They most assuredly can. Notice in verse 9, and I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. How will God cause it? Is it his will? No. Because of the famine that he sends, because of the sins they have committed, that will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat everyone the flesh of his friend in the siege of straitness. You know what? You won't be safe anywhere. We go back here to the book of Revelation now. Isn't that exactly what God says on down here? Not only are they going to be killed by the beast of the earth, but also here, with the opening of the fourth seal, and a fourth part of the earth shall die, with a sword, with hunger. With hunger, isn't it up here in verse 6, where we have the opening here of the other seal here, or the black horse here, the opening of the third seal, and there's going to be a famine in the land where it'll take a month's wages just to buy you a loaf of bread and so forth, and some set of weeks' wages to do that. But can you imagine what it will be to try to get something to eat? I remember when we went on our senior trip, and that's been a couple of years ago, a whole bunch of couples of years ago, and I remember we went to Washington, D.C., and then we went to New York. And when we were up at New York, we shouldn't have done this, but we did. We slipped out of our rooms, and we did some things we shouldn't have done. But I remember seeing that some of the absolute, you called them down-and-outers or bums on the street, and they were going through garbage cans. They were laying there and practically half naked. One we passed, I know he was dead. He stunk so bad he smelled just like a dead animal. You know what? But you're going to find they're going to be raiding garbage cans. And you know what? There's not going to be anything in them. Nobody's going to be throwing away anything. There isn't anything to throw away. It's going to be a horrible time. The Antichrist is going to kill one-fourth of the part of the earth by these means right here. You're going to find, after the rapture, cannibalism will again be prevalent because there will be absolutely nothing to eat. As I've said, I've never seen humanity so low as when I got on the police department. Our town wasn't big. It was only about 20,000, something like that, 18, 20, 22,000, something like that. But it was a big enough town to where you had a variety of people, where you've seen a variety of things go on. And I never got so educated in my life. And I was fairly young when I went on the police department. And it was an eye-opener to me. I didn't know such things existed. I didn't know that human beings had a relationship with animals until I seen that one time walking in a house. Got a call down to a lady's house. I could not believe it. And I'm not going to describe it, but I'll tell you why. I'd never seen anything like that before. I never seen anything like it at all. When we walked in, she jumped up, threw it off, and ran out of the house naked. Went out and went to the outhouse. She was the most filthiest woman I ever seen in my life. And you couldn't get her out. We finally rocked the outhouse and tipped it over and finally got her out. It wasn't a very good outhouse. And she run back in the house naked. And then she claimed she was raped. And I'd never seen as the dirtiest, filthiest woman I ever laid my eyes on in my life. I never seen anything like it. But boy, did I get educated. I never knew humanity would ever stoop that low to do what I had seen. And we'd seen many more things as time went on. But that was my first education. But let's go on down now. We're going to find out here as we're getting ready for the next seal now. And God gives us a wave of truth that extends on out into the last half of the tribulation period. Now, in the middle of the tribulation, when the Antichrist declares himself to be God, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, and you have to take the mark of the beast now, 666, Revelation chapter 13, last two verses. And then if you refuse to do that, if you're a Christian, you're not going to sell your soul to Satan. You're going to stand up, and you're going to stand for Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, to do that, during the last 3.5 years, you're going to have to give your life. Satan hates you. He hates a Christian. He'll counterfeit religion for Christianity. He'll tell you, be good and you'll go to heaven. Be bad and you'll go to hell. Well, you don't have to be bad to go to hell. You're born a sinner. You're going to hell anyway. You can do everything good in your life and go right straight to hell. Because you know what? You're not going to do everything good in your life. There is none righteous, no, not one, God says. That's why he's concluded we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin, according to Romans 6:23, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we come on down now. We have a few minutes left here. And we're getting now in verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, I want to stop here because these portion of scriptures here refute several false teachings that God never had in his mind and has never revealed to mankind, strictly puffed up into the minds of fleshly men who want to create something in contrast to the inerrancy of the Word of God. You have those today that say, you know, when you die, you go a certain place, and then somebody is going to pay the preacher, and they're going to get you out of this place and then ship you on to heaven. That's what you're going to do. So when you die, you go someplace, you don't go to heaven, and you don't go to hell. You go to this place of limbo, or you go to this place of someplace, but it's an intermediate place. And you go there, and you got to pay the preacher now. You got to pay up or shut up. Now, if you really love them, you're going to pay up, right? Well, that's what they say. But anyway, we're going to find out that just isn't true. Just isn't true at all. We're going to find out here. If you'll go with me in your Bibles, just hold your place here. Just hold your place. And this is a parallel to Revelation chapter 6. First of all, when these people had died, they either went to heaven, and when John was taken up into heaven, he seen them up in heaven. But I'd like for you to go with me to Psalms chapter 49. Psalms chapter 49, because the Bible refutes all of this false teaching about where do I go when I die? Do I go to a place of limbo? Do I go to a purgatory? Do I go there? Does it exist? Let me just say this. You can't find it. It doesn't exist. And Jesus Christ never mentioned it once in the whole New Testament. None. Absolutely none. You couldn't find a purgatory. You couldn't find a limbo. And you can't find, as some others teach, that you just go into the grave and you lie there and you're in a state of dormancy. You're in a state of unconsciousness. None of that phony baloney exists. It is foreign to the Word of God. It is calling God a liar. It is inserting, again, religion instead of Christianity. Notice here in Psalms chapter 49 and verse 7, and this answers it once and for all. If you think that one of your dead relatives, and I might say this, I cannot conceive this. After the person's died, you pray for the dead. You know what? You pray for the dead. What are you praying? Let me ask you this. What are you praying? You should have prayed for him or her while they were living. Did you ever witness to them about Christ? But after they die, we're going to get all touch now in our heart. How much we miss this person and everything else, and we're going to pray for them. And I'm going to say this, your prayers go no further than the air. You cannot pray for a person after they're dead because they're already in heaven and they're already in hell, and all your prayers go nowhere but out of your mouth and drop on the floor. Nowhere. No preacher can do anything, any prayer for the dead. There is no such thing. Notice what it says in verse 7 of Psalms chapter 49. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Anytime you ever go to a church, if you go to one and the preacher says, hey, pay me and I'll pray him out of here, I'll tell you what, you're throwing good money after bad. You're not going to get any interest on it. You just lost it and you just gave it away for nothing, fella, or whoever you are, because you're not going to give anything to God to buy somebody out of hell that had a decision to make not to go there when they were living. No way can you do that. None. Nowhere in the Bible. Each one of us give an account of ourselves unto the Lord. We do that, of course, while we are living. Yes, we got to account for our life after we go to the judgment seat of Christ if you're a Christian, but we're talking about living now. Nobody. That's why it's important for you. Don't listen to religion, but listen to Christianity and the living Word of God. God says, and notice here, Revelation chapter 6. John seed them. They had died for their testimony for Jesus Christ. They would not sell their soul out to the Antichrist. They said, no, I belong to Christ. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And brother, I'm not going with you, Satan. Here's what he said. And he said here in verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, in verse 10 refutes another false teaching of that you go to the grave, as we've previously mentioned. You go to the grave, you lie there dormant, and at the end there's going to be a resurrection sometime. If your good works outweigh your bad works, then you go to heaven. If they don't, you go back into a dormancy, and that's the end of your existence, fella. Goodbye, so long, see you later, that's it, you never existed, and hang it up. You never find that in the Bible. Notice what it says. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? Now, they're talking. You understand that? They're talking in heaven. They're alive in heaven. I don't know how in the world you can be in the grave and yet be in heaven and you're still talking. Hell claims the soul and the spirit. Heaven claims the soul and the spirit. And the grave claims the body, which is going to have a resurrection. But when you die, you're absent from the body, present with the Lord, and you never lay in that grave down there whatsoever. You see, these souls had trusted Christ. They had a witness for Christ. They would not sell out to the Antichrist. And in heaven, John heard them cry out. Well, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope you will, because you're not going someplace and somebody's going to pray you out. And because it isn't going to happen, friend, it just is not going to happen. You've been deceived, and Satan loves to have you deceived. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, understand you're a sinner, Christ died for you, he became your sin bearer, and when you trust him, you're passed from death unto life, and you have everlasting life. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.